Thank you, preacher. Thank you, my brother. My brother, thank you so much. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me.
Amen.
And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me, who loved me. I'll say it again, who loved me and gave himself for me. Let me say a few things. First of all, thank you, Pastor, for the offering. A lot of men are calling me and saying, now, preacher, if we can help you, please tell me. Well, I'm a strange kind of a fella. See, my God knows my need. And he's going to wake you up one of these days and say, now, Brother Blue needs a ham. And that's not baloney either. I'm not going to tell you a thing. But if one day God just begins to tear you up, you'll know you never listened and brought me that ham. I thank you for your kindness and consideration of me and my wife, for your giving, for your love, for your concern. Let me say some things here that will... I notice when some of you shake hands with me, you do it like I'm already in a funeral home and you want to say, he looks so natural. Well, I'm not there yet. And I may not go. I said, I may not go. We may all go before I get there. And I'm going to tell you, you ain't going to never get me to no stinking graveyard. I mean, I'm not going to no graveyard. Now, you can forget about it. Now, I see folks that when they go to funerals, they say, I hate to leave my mama, my daddy out there in the graveyard. You ain't leaving me out there. I mean, I want to tell you this. I don't think I'm a coward, but I just don't like to hang around graveyards. My feet get rabid in them, amen. But I want to thank you for your concern. Let me just give you a little bit of a rundown on the situation. You see that I get up rather slow. Now, that's not the cancer. Suddenly, I meet up with arthritis, and I move a little slower. And that's not that. It's just, if you hear me groan... it's just trying to get up and get down. And I'm walking a little slower. I do have cancer. And I want you to know this. Someone said, are you afraid? And it's not that that anybody wants to die. But my friend, for me to live is Christ. But to die is gain. Amen? There's something better for every child of God on the other side. Now, don't you say, well, Preacher Blue, I'm saved. I am too. But I want to tell you right now, for us to look forward to what's waiting on the other side, it's worth it all. It's worth it all. Now, if there's any doubt about that last breath of yours, and if you say, well, I hope I'm lucky and wake up in the right place, friend, don't speculate about that. You make that thing sure. Your calling and election, sure. Don't go around here saying, well, I hope I make it. Boy, that's dangerous. To think, well, I believe I am. I feel like I am. None of those things apply to a scripture salvation. I feel like I am, or I think I am, or I'm lucky. You ought to be able to look back to a day and a time when you got saved. I don't care whether it's raining. I don't care what date on the calendar it was, but there ought to be something deep in your heart that said, I remember I got born again.
Amen.
Amen. Now, if you can't do that, I'm going to tell you, today would be an awful good day for you to get born again.
Amen.
And if you think I'm peddling religion, you're wrong. I don't like religion. I don't care a thing about it. But I do believe this. Salvation's far greater than religion. And you ought to make sure of your hope in Christ. You ought to make sure of that. Now then, I don't know how long I'll preach. I ain't going to make no promises. I haven't preached in a few weeks. I was down in Florida. I'd been going down with Dr. David Strunk for about 30 years, once or twice a year. I knew that I was having some problems getting around. I said, well, I'm going to try to make it anyhow. So I told my wife, I said, I'm going to start on Friday and go part of the way. Used to, I'd drive it all just like that, you know, down to Jacksonville. That wasn't no trip. That's changed. That's changed. And so I rode down to Tifton, Georgia, made it fine, and rode on into Jacksonville, preached, and had a good time. Then it come time to come back home, and I thought they were going to have to help me out of the car. But you know, God's grace is wonderful, isn't it? Open your Bibles to the book of 2 Peter. Glad to have some dear friends from Knoxville. Knoxville. Good friends. Wonderful friends. Loving friends. Sweet friends. Good to have you. And someone said, Preacher Blue, can I have my picture made with you after service? I said, just all the pictures you want. Just all the pictures you want. Now remember, if you hear I'm dead, don't believe a word of it. Don't believe it. For he that liveth and believeth in me shall... Say it louder. Did you get that? So I can say to the devil, on you, amen. I ain't going to die. Let's stand together and read from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11, verse 9 through 11, please. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to, what? Say it louder. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation, our Father? Help me now, dear Lord, to be a blessing. Help me, God, to speak only those things that would be pleasing unto you. Give me the strength that I need to deliver this message. And God, may at the close of it, may somebody walk the aisle and get born again. That's our whole purpose. That's what it's all about, seeing people saved. Now touch those that are sick this morning. Somebody came to church today not feeling well, but I pray you'll just give them a blessing that'll just overwash any of the aches and pains they may have. Have your way, we pray. Help us to remember the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. My wife said today on the way to church, said, Brother Ed, what you preaching on? Of course, she says that a lot. And I said, I'm going to be preaching this morning on some people that God can't or won't save. And I saw her eyes open wide, and she said, Brother Ed, you've been preaching all this time that God will save anybody and everybody, and God can and wants to. That's exactly right. There's no contradiction there. God wants to save every single soul that's here today that doesn't know Him. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to die lost. And may I say to you today, if you go to hell, it's not God's fault. There's a price that's been paid on Calvary's rugged cross that you might not have to go to hell. Christ tasted death for every single soul that's present here right now. I've told this illustration so many times, but I want to tell it again, and if you've heard it, don't be wary with me telling this. I remember one time when I lived in Chattanooga. I pastored there for 7 years, about 7 years, Brother Leonard. Brother Leonard's one of my, he and his wife are one of some, two of my members, ex-members, and they still come to hear me preach. And I remember so well, in those days, I remember I had a little overcoat. And I was busy out visiting the field and the hospitals and the sick people. And if you've ever been in a cold spot in your life, go down on Main Street in Chattanooga when cold weather hits, and that cold wind comes sweeping down through that, it'll cut your legs off. I remember so well, I had this little overcoat, and it was so thin, it would snuggle up to me. I honestly believe a little coat suffered. It went through a lot of pain trying to keep me warm. But I remember so well, one day my wife was cooking breakfast and the phone rang. And I remember somebody on the phone, just a nice gentleman, said to call the name of a clothing store in Chattanooga, an exclusive place, one that I never bought anything in, couldn't afford it. And he said, "Is this Pastor Blue, pastor at the Tabernacle?" I said, "That's me." He said, "Pastor Blue, someone has bought you an overcoat in our establishment, and it's here for you. You know where we're at. Bye." I hung up. I said to my wife, I said, "Somebody's trying to pull a trick on me." I said, "They're just waiting for me to come in there and walk in and say, I've come for my coat, and they're going to embarrass me and say, what coat?" I wasn't going to fall for that old trick. But one day I was downtown, and man, it was cold. My little coat, I'm afraid you're going to take pneumonia. It was so cold. So I happened to be down at that store in front of it when, you know, I thought, well, if I can catch and look in the window and nobody in there, I'll just go in and maybe there might be something to do it. I might get a coat out of this deal. So I waited till I didn't see anybody in there, and I went walking in. And you know, they have in Hollywood, they have what they had called giving the Oscars out. That's for good acting. I deserve one. I walked in there, and there was this nice little gentleman, you know. Oh, he walked up to me, and in his best sales tactics, he said, "May I help you?" Now, watch this acting. I said, "I'm just looking around." It gets better all the time. So I walked around, and he said, "What can I help you with?" "Well," I said, "I've been thinking about a coat." And I thought I heard my little coat say, "Amen." And he said, "We've got some nice ones." And he took me over to a rack. And have you ever saw these salesmen, when they take a suit off the rack, they'll pick it up like this and lay it across their arm? He did that. He reached and got a coat off of that rack. And I mean, honest, I never saw one like it. And he said, "This is a nice one." And I looked at the price tag. I thought it was a serial number. Honest. I didn't know anything. I thought cars sold for that. But I never dreamed that one coat would cost that much. And he said, "Well," I said to myself, "what's this piece of acting?" I said, "Well, I don't really believe that's my style." My little coat said, "Look again." You'll see the point of this. We looked at that coat, and he took and put it on me. And it just fell on me just like this. Oh. He said, "Let me help you with your coat." And he took it off like it was poison. He looked at it and wondered where I got it. And he laid my little coat over it and put this coat on me. And oh, it just felt so good. Oh, I'd never felt anything like that. And he said, "By the way, what did you say your name was?" I said, "My name..." Don't he said, "Tell me one more time." I missed it. I said, "One more time." I said, "My name's Blue." He looked at me funny and said, "I've heard that name. Where did I hear?" Oh. He said, "Where have you been? Watch this piece acting." I said, "I've been around." He said, "Are you Reverend Ballou?" And I said, "Well, yes." He said, "Reverend," said, "we've had a coat here for you, and it's been here for weeks, and we wondered why you hadn't come." He said, "In fact, it's this coat that you've got on." "What's this piece acting?" I said, "You're kidding." He said, "No, preacher. This is your coat." He said, "It's paid for." I said, "You mean it's made a down payment?" "No." He said, "It's all paid for." I said, "You mean I've got to take up the installments?" He said, "You're not getting it. It's all paid for." Now get this line. I'll never forget it, Brother Leonard, till the day I die. He said, "All you had to do was come and get it." Jesus calls from Calvary to a sinner and said, "Come and get it. It's paid for. On the cross, I paid for it." And you said, "Oh, Brother Blue, what have I got to do to get it?" There's a few things. Well, it's not your doing. It's not by works of righteousness. It's not by works. See, our salvation is paid for totally of Christ. We see folks walking around like, "Well, I helped him out a little bit." You didn't help him out at all. You didn't do one thing to get salvation. The song said, "Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain." I like this. "He washed it white as snow." Your hope is nothing more or less than in Christ. Now listen to me. Why are some of you going to miss heaven? It's not God's fault. Why can't God save you? Why? You said everything's possible with God. Wait a minute, you'll see my point. There are some of you God cannot save. He will not step over this book. What He said in here, He won't change. He said, "For your case, I'll change." He'll not do that. If He says it, and He did, that's it. Let me tell you why God won't save some of you. You won't repent. You won't become sorry for your low-down, dirty, stinking life. See, as you look at yourself, "Well, I don't think I'm too bad." The Bible said every way of a man's right in his own eyes. There's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. See, you don't see any need of saying, "God, I'm sorry. God, I'm a sinner. Lord, I want you to forgive me. I'm sorry." See, you can't see that. Oh, you don't mind coming down and shedding a few tears and maybe, you know, having a little emotional spell and get up and a few years later you say, "Well, I wonder if I really was." No, maybe you wasn't. You cried some, but really, did true repentance, did true "I'm sorry," did truly say, "God, I'm sorry for my sin"? No. All you can remember is just a little emotional display and maybe a few tears and you used a few tissue. But the Bible said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Why can't God save you? You won't repent. Now, if you think God's going to step over that and say, "Well, I'll save you whether you repent or not," He's not going to do it. So God cannot ignore what He's already said. God said, except you repent, that means you've got to repent. That means it's an absolute must. Not a probability, but it's a must. You say, well, I repented a part of it. No, that won't work either. This matter of repentance is looking at yourself and seeing yourself as you are. Not as somebody else sees you. Everybody else may look at you and say, he's a pretty good fella. But God said, man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. See, that old heart, the Bible said, is desperately wicked. From the abundance of the heart. You know what? Somebody said, I heard them curse out of their mouth. No, you heard them curse out of their heart. For from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That old mouth says what's coming from down in here. If you've got a rotten heart, rotten stuff will come out of your mouth. Some of you looking at me like you wish I was dead now. But I ain't done it. God's going to let me hang around to gouge you a little more. I'm tired of this religious world. I'm fed up with it. Gag a maggot. People come prancing in like they're doing God a favor. Come walking in. Oh, God, I'm here now. I put my on and I smell good. Do you know why God's not blessing our church? There's too many people who won't repent. He said, you suppose the people at the wall of Siloam fell upon were sinners above all? He said, nay, they weren't the worst of all. He said, your crowds are rough too. But he said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So God can't save people that won't repent. Why? He won't step over His Word. He can't. See, God, whether you know this or not, whether you like to admit it or not, God is bound by this Word. God has to back up every word in there. If He said it, that settles it. He'll do it. Amen. There's another thing. How many of you know John 3:16? Let's quote it together. Will you? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now you say, well, what's that guy? You know why God can't save some of you? You won't believe. You won't do it. Well, you say, oh, preacher, but wait a minute. You can't tell me I don't believe in a God. No, you believe in a little figurehead that there is a God somewhere. Maybe He's Allah. Maybe He's Confucius. Well, I heard one of these. You know what? I've got to quit watching Peter Jennings. I look at that turkey and want to puke up a gut. Did you see, I hope you didn't, but there's a piece he put on about trying to explain Jesus. God, have mercy. God has to be a good God or He'd have killed him a long time ago. I mean that. Do you know why God won't save some of you? You've listened to birds like Peter Jennings. See, if there's one thing God wants you to nail down, He had a son and has a son named Jesus. Say that word with me, Jesus. Jesus. Not Confucius. Not Buddha. Not Allah. But God had a son and has a son, and His name is Jesus. Our Emmanuel. God with us. Oh, Lord God, I wish I didn't have this arthritis. I'd run a mile. Jesus. Jesus. There's just something about that name. He's wonderful. Counselor. The mighty God. The everlasting Father, the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the bright and the morning star. He said, I'm He that was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. He looked death in the face and said, "Oh, death, oh, death, where is thy sting?" The devil had come up against everybody and won a lot of battles. But one day, when Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross, he thought, I got him now. And they put him in the tomb, and the devil reared back and strutted his onions and walked around that grave. But all of a sudden, the stone was rolled away, and the devil went running across the hill. And somebody said, "Devil, where are you going?" He said, "He's after me." Hallelujah. Some of you believe. You say, "Well, I've heard this till sometimes I just don't know." I hear folks said, "I'm a Baptist." Woo, doggy. A Baptist. I know what you're meaning by saying that. So am I. But when you say that, don't say it in such a profound way that you think you give Baptists credit for your hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. On Christ, that solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Why can't Christ? Why won't He save you? You won't believe. You won't believe, first of all, that He even was. Maybe there's a possibility, you know, that somebody just wrote down a story about a little baby born in a manger. No. If that's the way you believe, lay it down. Because I believe there was a baby born, and the angel said, they told him, "You'll call His name Jesus. For He shall save His people from their sins." You won't be saved. Can't be saved until you're really ready to say, "My only hope is Jesus. My only hope is Jesus." Now notice, I've got to hurry. There's another reason God can't save you. And I have strong doubts about some. I'm not your judge. But I have strong, strong doubts about folks that will somehow, by their actions or other deeds, lead you to believe they're saved when this verse comes jumping out at me in Romans 10 and 9. It said, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth." I wonder what's wrong there. I see a lot of folks that said, "Well, now, Preacher Blue, I've been a Baptist." Wait a minute. Why are you ashamed? Say, let me just tell you what I'm glad to say. August the 27th, 1935, I accepted and received the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior.
Amen.
Why is it that some of you have such great pain and agony in saying, "I have been born again by the precious blood of the Lamb of God"? See, He said, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." I like the account of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. You know the story. The evangelist Philip met the Ethiopian eunuch down in the desert, Gaza. And he went up in the chariot and preached unto him Jesus. I like that. And he must have got the story across altogether. He covered the whole scope, Ed. And all of a sudden, the Ethiopian eunuch was riding along in the chariot, and He remembered that Philip had told him about salvation, and he told him about baptism. And Philip and the eunuch said, "Seeing here is water, what doth hinder me from being baptized?" Listen to what Philip said. "If thou believest..." Now wait, I've not finished that, have I? I didn't finish that, did I? How many of you know what I'm leaving out? Now, Philip never said if you just believe and dropped it there. He said, "If thou believest with all of thine heart, thou mayest." Then he must have turned to that eunuch and said, "What do you believe?" Without any contradiction or fear of contradiction, the eunuch said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God."
Amen.
You know why some of you can't be saved, or you must not be saved? You're too reluctant to even testify to the fact of your salvation. It gives me great fear. I see people walking around religion, and I'm not even sure what kind of religion they've got. And you can have all kinds. Now let me try to finish. You've been very kind. You've listened. But I want you to do more than just listen. I prayed this morning before I came to church. I prayed earnestly before I came to church. Somebody might see your lost condition. Friend, you're not just going to New York when you die. You're going to hell if you're lost. You're going to burn in a lake of fire forever and forever and forever, where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. It's not going to get cooler. The thermostat's going to go to the top. The eyeballs are going to burn in your sockets and blister. See, God's going to give you a body that will be able to suffer for eternity. Why? Because you rejected His Son. In Luke chapter 18, verses 10 through 14, two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank Thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican." Every time I look at this fellow here, I think I used to pastor him. Now listen to... Watch him exhibit all of his good points. "I fast twice a week." I dare say you're just a little skinny fence rail. Fasting twice a week will take pounds off of you. And I don't mean buying a gallon of ice cream and a Diet Coke either, amen. You'll get it after a while. "I fast twice a week." Now watch this. "I give tithes of all I possess." And the publican, standing afar off, this is the old sinner now, would not lift up as much his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, "God, be merciful unto me, a sinner." Some of you won't even, you're so stubborn, pride-filled, you won't even ask for mercy. You know why God can't save you and won't save you? You see no need for mercy. David said in Psalm 51, he wanted that tender mercy. Mercy. I tell you, God's doing the talking now through inspiration. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, or made just like he had never sinned, rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Dear ladies and gentlemen, one day, probably soon, I don't know how long, I may live 10, 15 more years, I don't know. But one day, I shall take my flight from this low land of sin and sorrow. With probability, I will probably... My funeral will be right here, probably. I believe with all of my heart there are some things that we're conscious of on the other side. I'd like for you to walk by that day and Say, old Brother Blue was the man that pointed me to Calvary. You know, the Bible said there's rejoicing in the presence of the angel.
Yes, amen.
And I got a sneaking idea that you might be looking at my old cold dead body, but I'd be shouting on the other side. I prayed today, Lord, let somebody see their need for Christ and be ready to repent and believe the gospel and be born again. That's my prayer. Now, you may be sitting here today with a trunk full of religion and not an ounce of salvation. And you'll go to hell just as quick as that drunk and that harlot out on the street that's never been inside a church. You'll burn with everyone in hell, just not because you come to church is going to keep you out of hell. It's when you know Christ or not. One lady saw me one time years ago before church, and she said, I'd like you to be my pastor. I preached that morning. She came to me later and said, I've changed my mind. Some of you wouldn't want me to be your pastor. I'm going to shake that bush of yours and tell you you're lost till I die. If you think you're going to sit there and act to me like you're some saint, and none of us are saints, we're sinners. You just need Christ. You need to be born again. The Bible said you must be born again. Some of you right now have even gone so far and said, Brother Blue, I hear you've got cancer. And I said, yes. And some of you said, Preacher, my mama's gone, or my daddy's gone, or my baby, or somebody like that. If you get there, would you tell them I'm on the way? I'll do that. But wouldn't it be far better? For when that day comes, them to look up and see you come walking in. Oh, how terrible to think you're going to miss heaven. How sad. How sad to think that the price that was paid on Calvary and you've rejected it. You've turned it flat down and said no to the greatest gift that was ever given. I'm give out. Would you come to the instruments, please? Now look up there. Don't get your attention off. Don't start moving around. Don't start playing with babies. Don't, if you don't have to go out, don't do it. But I want to do something. I want to give you a chance today to be born again. I don't want to offer you religion. I want you to get saved. I want you to get washed in His blood. I want your sins forgiven. I want you to walk out in the sunlight of this Tennessee land today and look up and say, God, I got saved today. I got born again. Some of you are going to just hang on to your self-righteous rags and say, I've got my fingers crossed. I hope I make it. You're going to miss it. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. Today, somebody sitting here in this building, you're trembling, you realize you're lost, pride swells up in you, you said, I'll not repent, I'll keep on going. No, except you repent, you'll perish. Somebody right now is lost. God help you right now to walk the aisle this morning and said, I'm going to get born again. I'm going to get saved. I will not die lost. I'm not going to hell. Don't turn the Lord down. I wonder if there's a hand right now that'll go up and said, Brother Blue, pray for me. Pray for me. I don't want to die like this. I see your hand. I wonder if there's another hand that will go up and say, pray for me. I don't want to die in the shape I'm in. I'm lost. And I don't want to die like this. I'm lost. Will you raise your hand right now?
raised your hand up, Sam Lost. I don't want you to die like this. Our Father, you know the heart of every man, woman, boy, or girl in here. You know those right now that's lost. You know those right now that breathe their last breath this minute, they'll die and go to hell. Oh, God, help them to jump their pride. Walk down the aisle this morning and get on their knees and tell God they're sorry and ask Him to come into their heart and save them. I pray it'll happen today. Lord, I want to see somebody saved so bad. I want to see somebody get born again. I want to see somebody leave here today with their destination heaven. Have your way, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand together. Let's stand together. If you're here today and lost, I beg you to come to Christ. Sing it right now.
Just that I am without one.
Right now. Right now. Right now. Lamb of God. Oh, blessed Lamb of God. I come. I'm going to get plainer than I ever have in my life, I think, this morning. I never have. I don't think I've ever done it this way. I want every head bowed. And I'm going to pray a simple prayer and ask God not to let you lie. I'm going to pray a simple prayer and ask God not to let you lie. Oh, you can. You can lie and you can raise your hand. You can say, well, I am, but in your heart you know it's not right. I wonder how many right here right now said, Brother Blue, now you better be careful what you're about to do right now. You better be real careful. How many of you can raise your hand and said, Brother Blue, there's absolutely no doubt, because one day I repented. One day I put my faith in Christ. One day I gave Him my heart. And I'm saved. Will you raise your hand? I'm saved. I'm saved. Take them down. Keep your head bowed. Please don't look. Cooperate with me. Cooperate with me. Now, there's some of you could not raise your hand. I saw you. You couldn't do it. You was afraid to do it, wasn't you? I wonder how many of you right now said, Preacher, I couldn't raise my hand. I'm not saved. I wouldn't want to die like this. Would you at least raise your hand and say, pray for me right now? I saw you. You couldn't do it. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I saw you. You couldn't raise that hand, could you? You don't want to lie. You know you're not right. But you say, well, maybe I've got one more day. You may not have 15 minutes. You may not have it. Will you raise your hand and say, pray for me, preacher? I want you to pray one prayer, Brother Blue, for me right now. Will you raise that hand right now? I won't embarrass you. I won't drag you down here. I want you to raise your hand and say, I'm lost, preacher. Another one? Our Father. Some raise their hand. Some said, I'm lost. God, you don't make nobody get saved. You don't force nobody to get born again. You just don't do it. But I pray the Holy Ghost of God will reveal to their heart the gravity of this series and the seriousness of this situation. May that person that raised their hand and said, I'm lost, may they walk the aisles right now on this next verse. God, this next verse, and get born again in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, one more verse. I want you to come right now if you raise that hand.
Just
go ahead, Jane. Oh, Lamb of God. Oh, Lamb of God. I come. I come. Right now. Now, some of you right now are so blind, you think, well, they came, I won't go. I'm just going to stay here. I'm going to wait it out. Oh, God, how foolish can you be? God said, it's appointed unto man once to die. Your appointment could be soon, even now. Even now. Sing another verse. I want you to come right now.
Just then, I am thou wilt receive, wilt
come on.
Gently
come on.
Release.
Please don't wait.